If I can have your attention here in the media center, we will go ahead and roll into our post-race media availability for the 7th annual Eldora Dirt Derby. And we're joined by team owner Chris Larson, crew chief Tripp Bruce. Tripp, we're going to start with you. Congratulations on the victory tonight. Walk us through your nerves going through the final laps of that race.
I said they're all kind of nerve-wracking to some degree. So obviously this one was one of the higher ones. We were lacking fuel for sure. There's a lot of questions there. We got more cautions, I believe, than the caution history shows here, actually. If I don't know the exact numbers right now because I have a great engineer sitting there pumping all that information in my left ear the whole time. But we needed a lot of laps to make it to the end for a lot of different reasons. One of them being in the gas a lot. The other one running the high line the whole race. So it's a longer racetrack up there. The fuel, the distance burns more fuel. There's a lot of things going on there for us, but all those extra cautions helped. But the nerves at that point at the end of the race, probably with 20 to go, were for the green white checkered deals, the overtimes. So that was still in play all the way to the end. So
Chris, this team has been so close so many times, but to finally get the victory lane, especially here at Eldora, how special is that to you?
Well, it would have been pretty special no matter where it happened, but obviously this was a race that we were pointed towards, you know, because of Stu's experience on dirt. And, we've been close, but you know what? We've never lost confidence and faith in each other, and it's an incredible team, and, you know, they just kept working hard, and, you know, we knew we would get here.
Okay, we're going to open the floor for questions. If you have a question, raise your hand. We'll get a wireless mic to you. We'll start up front here with Jacob.
Dylan Freeble, Race Pro Weekly. Trip, you know, Stu has won four of these dirt fuel mileage races. Talk about that call from him at the end of stage two to win, and how confident were you that he could actually save all the fuel?
Well, I didn't even bring that up to him at that point for a really good reason, I thought, on my part. He doesn't need to think about that. It's not his job, the fuel part. He was going to have to go to work and do that, but he didn't need to know about it. And he definitely didn't need to have the fuel thing on his mind when he helped make the decision to stay out. You know, there's some areas to read the tire visibly, looking at tires in the pits and stuff, that, you know, I'm good at on asphalt, but learning on dirt. So the decision-making on that kind of stuff leans more towards what he thinks and what he says, you know. And I told him I was with him if he wanted to stay out. I didn't feel like the track, what I saw, was wearing tires. It didn't rubber up. It didn't black over, and that can have a tendency to blister a soft tire and stuff like that. I didn't see that. I told him I didn't see that stuff happening. I felt good about staying out as far as the tires were concerned. I didn't mention fuel to him. That would not have helped his focus on what job he's got to do first.
Jacob Seelman, Speed Sport. Chris, for you, what was the original catalyst behind the decision to make the move into the Truck Series to bring Stewart to this level? And does, you know, after all the heartache, finally getting that win tonight, does that validate the move?
Well, the reason we actually got involved in the NASCAR Truck Series was just to have a bit of fun. You know, a few years ago, we bought a secondhand truck and came here just because we were running the dirt modified. And we had a lot of fun doing it, and we thought we'd try it some more, and we realized how bad we were at it. And really it was once we put a team together with Tripp and had the alliance with GMS that, you know, we started setting our expectations higher, and, you know, our team started coalescing. And again, Tripp and his crew, you know, they work hard, and Stewart's a very talented driver, and if we didn't have the support of GMS, it would be hard for us to do this. So, you know, there's a lot of credit to go around, and, you know, for me personally, I knew we would be here.
Do we have additional questions for our winning crew chief and winning owner? Jacob?
Jacob?
trip, maybe it was a lot of people making much out of little, but I know earlier this season when you guys were, you know, having the struggles and maybe the communication between you and Stuart was a little fractured, you know, what has it taken, you know, behind the scenes between you guys to get that chemistry back? Because obviously you guys have worked, you know, worked well together, and tonight proves that.
Chris mentioned in the beginning here that the stuck behind everybody. Everybody stuck behind each one of us. And that's got a lot to do with that. Communication is the hardest part. I mean, we all know that it takes people. That's what gets us done. It's not all these parts and pieces. We all create the parts and pieces. But then when you take that to the next step, those people have to communicate. And that's like something you work on every day when you get up and you start talking. So the breakdowns, we weren't ever that far apart on communication. It could be as simple as I said two, it sounded like four. It's so simple, so hard. Being that simple, communication being that simple, makes it that hard. It's a complex subject. So I don't think, relationship-wise, communication ever changed anything along the way. But one little breakdown means not a win after 200 laps and things like that. So the fact that we talk about that as part of the communication is what gets it better. And we do. We follow up. I think we follow up on about everything. Sometimes maybe more than we need to, but we definitely follow up. And then that helps us move forward and get better. Yeah, I knew that. I mean, I've known it for 11 years. It's horrible when you're racing because all you want to race for is a win. That's all you do. But, you know, at the same time, I got a long list of wins too, and I've always said they're not easy. They don't give them. I said it today. Everybody's like, "You guys got this. You got this. You know, your guys are supposed to win here." I said they don't. Every time I respond to them, they don't give them to you. So you know, we right in the middle of the weekend. It was yesterday, a lot of work. Last night, today, and then today's real work hadn't even started until the green flag. And I'm like, they don't give them to you. So I don't see it that way. But then I've always said one thing too. I've never stood in victory lane and held a trophy up without like one of the top drivers in the world. And you can look back at who I won with. Every one of them is one of the top drivers in the world, literally. So he's another one of those. And that's true. You just don't get there. You just don't get there without the best driver that there is. And it just doesn't happen.
Well, Stuart, tonight you were the best driver. We're joined by Stuart Friesen, driver of the number 52 Halmar International Chevrolet. Stuart, finally in victory lane. How sweet is this experience for you?
It's sweet. I don't even know what to say. Yeah. It's like I said, it's sweet. It's special. Finally, it's a lot of weight off my shoulders. I put way too much pressure on myself every week when things don't go right or there's mistakes and we didn't win races. I take 100% of the responsibility every time, and I beat myself up bad about it. And then I beat myself up really, really bad after Pocono last week. And these two guys right here and my wife got behind me, and I know Tripp was talking about communication, but we had a conference call Monday morning with just our road guys, the seven of us, and talked, and Jess, you know, we drove back from Pocono, and Jess just we just talked the whole time. We went and raced at Fonda that night, and Chris echoed everything that they said. It was just, he goes, "You wouldn't be driving for me if I didn't believe in you. So just go drive and just do it and enjoy it." And that's what we did. We came in here the last 2 days and enjoyed ourselves and raced hard. And, you know, those guys just put an excellent truck underneath me. They worked really, really, really hard. The trucker, Eric Wakeland, called it an F1 dirt car. And yeah, this F1 dirt car we got that we put way too much time into. Well, it paid off. And he was just breaking balls, but it was just a lot of hard work by everybody, a lot of support, and I just appreciate it all.
Okay, we'll open it up for questions. If you have a question, please raise your hand. We'll get a microphone to you. We'll start here with Dylan.
Pro Weekly, Stu, you've won four races at the mile doing fuel mileage. Did any of that knowledge play into your call to stay out there?
Oh,
yeah. Stage two.
Yeah, this was eerily similar to the first one in 2010 when just cautions came out. Roger Slack was in the promotion team of that show. He's here, obviously, and doing a great job. And everything was just playing out. The race
it got rolling, but it was exciting, obviously, but it didn't get long runs and long segments. So there's just so much action going on, and that just played into our hand. You know, the tires weren't probably even getting hot because we were every two or three laps there was a caution. We stayed out after the first segment with plans to come in after the second, and after the second segment was just kind of up and down and never really got a long run rolling. And Tripp's like, well, if Briscoe comes in, just come with him. But if you want, you can stay out too. I'm like, no, man, I want track position. I want to stay out here and get some clean air and lead this thing. And the third segment was just flawless for us.
Go next to Bob and then to Dylan.
Bob Hawkins, Fox Sports. I have two for you, Stuart. First off, are you more excited about the win or relieved about getting into the playoffs?
I'm more excited about the win.
Why?
Well, as a racer and racing for a living the last, 10 years or so, you're only as good as your last race. And if, we were locked into the playoffs, whatever, before, it's great. But right now it's all about the win and being as good as our last race, and we won the race. So the playoffs, everybody kind of put, is there added pressure? And it was like, no, it's just an added bonus on top of the winner's purse and the checkered flag and the trophy and all that stuff. It's like, wow. And we get to be locked into the playoffs on top of it. So I put the race first, and then the playoff stuff is just gravy.
And I assume that was your son on the bed of the truck dancing. Did you teach him those moves?
No, and I don't know where he learned that. Parker's unbelievable. He went from not saying a word, a year ago to now he just won't shut up. And we get in victory lane with the dirt car a lot, and you never know what he's going to do. He takes a flag and he pokes photographers and just is just a riot. So it was cool. He's dancing. We finally got a picture with the three of us after, just before he came in here, where he cheesed and smiled, and it was like he's just unbelievable. It's so special to get this win. We've been close before when Jess and him weren't here or weren't with us at the races, and it's just really, really special to have them with me with the team.
Jacob Seelman, Speed Sport. Stu, first, congratulations. Chris was talking earlier about, when you guys first came into the Truck Series, it was about fun. And then as you started to put the pieces together, it became, the expectations came higher. But even going back to the Dirt Modified, how important has his belief in you been throughout this entire process?
It's been everything. Like I said, I when things don't go right, I beat myself up. And it's bad. It's like a downfall. I got to figure it out. But between him, just being behind us, he says, last night we didn't have a great run with the Modified, and he says, just figure out what the problem is, sit down, talk about it, and whatever the problem is, and then just fix the problem. It's really not as hard as, oh my goodness, is it this shy, is it that, whatever. You just, gotta plan the work and then work the plan, and we came into this race with a game plan, with strategy, with what we can do and how things can play out. And it was just a lot of communication and a lot of him giving Tripp and I the tools to do that, and having him supportive, win, lose, or draw. It's just awesome. He's been such an inspiration to me. And when things are bad, he can pep me up and we can talk about it. And it's just cool. He's been an awesome car owner and an awesome friend. No, absolutely not. This is just a dream to race at this level. Then we started to do it as fun. He said that this race would be cool to do. And we came here 4 years ago and did it, and we're pretty competitive. And then, the last 2 years been close, and then finally winning it is like, this is what it's all about. This is what the whole goal was coming into this. So we can just check that box.
Dylan
Freeboy, Race Pro Weekly. Stu, talk about all those cautions there in the third stage. I know nobody wants to get restarts. How nerve-wracking were all those restarts?
It was super nerve-wracking. I know I could get good restarts, and we'd get a couple lengths on them off of two, but you just open yourself up for a slide job or something crazy to happen, So I was just trying to get clean. There was a bunch of grip right before the restart box out of four, so I was just trying to get my nose in the box and have my rear tires on that grip and beat them to one, and then get it rolling. And once the races got rolling and we were up front and we started to put car lengths and another caution came out, it's like, damn, but it worked into our fuel strategy. I don't know how much we have left, but it just played out right.